CJ.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Todd Hancock here in Vancouver.
How's it going?
Good, man. How are you doing?
All right.
Good, good. Well, thank you so much for taking the time here to join us in Vancouver, Canada.
All right.
Mm-hmm. A member of the Ramones, arguably the most iconic name in rock. What an honor to have you as a guest.
Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah, man. And of course, you're in Vancouver soon. You're here June 1st. You're playing a great show at the Wise Hall, stumbling distance to the podcast studio. And for this one, I would love to go back to the beginning, CJ, with you. And before you were in any bands at all, like, what was the music like in the Ramones house as you're a kid growing up? What are your parents playing?
So the whole thing of the Ramones all being related and brothers is a joke.
Of course.
And it actually, you know, that comes from the... Dee Dee was a huge Beatles fan, as was the rest of the band. And when the band first got together, he thought they were going to be as big as the Beatles. So
right.
Paul McCartney used to check into hotels under the name of Paul Ramone.
No way,
so
really?
Dee Dee took on Dee Dee took on the name Ramone, and that became the whole thing behind the band. They all took it on, and they became Ramones,
which is great. Love it.
Yeah, I'm really, really lucky. Like, my mom and dad listen to, you know, everything. I mean, from classical to country. I really grew up on country, but I was exposed to, like, a lot of other different types of music, from, you know, 50s rock and roll and 60s Motown and doo-wop. A lot of it just listening to the radio. But my mom and dad always, you know, encouraged me to listen to different types of music, and I took to it wholeheartedly. And, you know, I've always said I'm a music fan. I'm not a genre fan so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I stayed, you know, for most of my life.
So which were the first bands to really kind of grab a hold of you then?
You know, real early on, a lot of the country stuff, my dad used to listen to. A lot of it is the, you know, like the 70s style country. So, you know, Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard and, you know, Patsy Cline and Tanya Tucker. Like, I listened to all of that stuff.
Right.
And the later stuff too, Mickey Gilley and Crystal Gale and all that. That's all influence from my mom and dad. But Hank Williams and Johnny Cash are probably my two most, you know, favorites from the early days of country.
Right. And what was your first concert that you attended, and how old were you?
Oh Lord.
It's going back, right?
I remember the first concert I ever went to, actually, out on Long Island in New York where I live. There's two big horse racing tracks, and my uncle was a guard, excuse me, at both of them. And they used to do, you know, summer concert series in the park.
Oh, cool.
And I think the first one I ever saw was, I want to say it was Mickey Gilley and somebody else really good. I can't remember, but that's probably the very first concert.
Mm-hmm.
Very different from the first concert I ever went to, you know, of my own.
Right, and yeah. I was actually going to ask you that. What do you remember about your first show playing with the Ramones? Does anything immediately come to mind?
Yeah, you know, of course it was hugely overwhelming, but when we came off stage, Johnny yelled at me pretty good for about 10 minutes for making a lot of mistakes and whatnot, so that was about the most memorable part of it. But it was, you know, he was trying to get me to play at a level that the Ramones played at.
So sure, yeah.
I just kind of took it on the chin I really did enjoy the show, though.
Mm-hmm.
Leicester, England, September 30th, 1989, my first show.
Mm. Of course, you've been banging it out for, I mean, decades. Does it get any easier making albums over the years?
Oh, yeah. Well, now, I mean, I really, really, really enjoy it now. I love the... I didn't like the studio before. I wasn't really that that interested in the studio. You know, it's very kind of almost uninspired when you're recording because it's, you know, there's no people there to feed off of. There's no, like, you know, it's just not the same as a live show. But now I love crafting. I love going to the studio and making a really good record, like really getting down, digging in and just, you know, putting out the best albums that I possibly can.
Right. Cool, man. Of course, CJ, when I mentioned you were coming on as a guest on social media, there's a ton of CJ Ramone fan questions. So I'd like to get some of those here.
Right.
What are you currently binge watching?
Oh boy. Binge watching. So, my son and I have been watching all the Ken Burns documentaries on America.
Okay.
We've been every night for like probably the last week and a half. We sat down every night and watched at least 2 hours of one of his documentaries. I'm actually driving down to L.A. right now from San Francisco to start rehearsals. Our first show is coming up on the 30th. So usually, like, leading up to when I'm leaving home, I try to spend more time with my kids and make sure that I just get some quality time with them. And that's one of the things me and my son enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm. Documentaries. I mean, you have so much. Maybe you don't. Do you have a whole lot of video and stuff? Like, could you personally make a documentary about the life of CJ Ramone?
Do I have a lot of videos? Yeah, well, I actually I've released two documentaries on one was the making of my my first record, Reconquista.
Okay.
I did a full documentary on that, on the making of the record, and because there were so many, you know, big special guests that came out to play on it. I just put that out myself, and then I did another one in 2015 about I was invited to Cuba to go play a couple of shows, and we did a documentary on the whole trip there. So,
So there's a couple floating around.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Oh yeah, they're fun to put together.
Yeah,
I
really like quietly go about my business and do everything that, you know, do everything I really want to do. And it's really, you know, most of it is just between me and my fans. There isn't a whole lot of commercial attention paid to what I've done. But, you know, I've put out 4 records, 2 documentaries, all since 2012. So
right.
It's a fair amount of
it's a lot of content.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
It's a pretty good amount.
Right.
And, like I told my wife, you know, someday down the road, probably just like the Ramones, after I'm gone, somebody will dig it up and go, holy cow, how come I never heard of this?
Totally, 100%. Sarah's got a really tough question, dude. She goes, which bands are in your top 5?
Top 5 bands?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be, probably... Ramones is definitely top 5. Black Sabbath is top 5. Johnny Cash, Creedence Clearwater Revival, and
that's that last one. It's like, who fits in that
last
one?
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I could go out, you know, go way out on a limb, and Tom Waits is one of my favorite artists of all time.
Good call. I mean, that's one of those, CJ, where you could almost, like, answer that tomorrow and the response would be different, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, tomorrow would be the Rolling Stones and, you know, the Allman Brothers or something.
Right, exactly.
But in all seriousness, those are probably, those will probably, would consistently at least be in my top 10, those 5 artists I just named.
Right.
I still listen to each one of those artists, you know, weekly, probably.
Right. Who's your favorite superhero and your favorite superhero movie?
Oh, yeah, huh? Wow. All right, well, Spider-Man's my favorite superhero. That's That's an easy one.
Yeah.
And which was my favorite of the movies? That's tough. Yeah, that's I think I would have to say, you know, while it's not a movie like that late 60s Spider-Man cartoon that was on TV, that's my absolute favorite Spider-Man stuff,
yeah,
like ever.
I mean, you can't go wrong. Yeah.
I got the box set with every episode.
And, nice.
I mean, I still love it to this day. I really enjoy it.
I mean, I've got a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, and I still, present day, we're still playing those, you know, find them on YouTube kind of thing. And, you know, because
they
love, obviously, they love the latest, you know, Spider-Man movies and X-Men and everything else. But I'm like, guys, this is the stuff. Like, this is the stuff that I loved when I was a little kid, Saturday morning, watching, you know, Spider-Man with the Rhino and, you know, everything else.
It was,
yeah. So good.
Yeah. To tell you the truth, my youngest daughter, she's 9 years old. She'll sit down and watch, you know, Tom and Jerry with me. She'll watch Popeye. Like, she really digs the old cartoons too.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I know this is not like a totally different era and everything else, but I always loved Pee Wee's Playhouse.
No, okay, yes.
I just thought that was so great. And the movies, you know, Big Top Pee Wee and the first one.
Yeah.
I really, really like that stuff, too. That's a whole different time period. But I was a big fan of Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, great show. Stimpy, you idiot.
South Park. I love South Park.
Yeah.
And, of course, The Simpsons. So I never I'm not like if it was made after 1973, it ain't no good, you know.
Right. Do you ever get into Archer? Archer's a really funny animated show if you've never seen it.
I never got it. I never actually had the opportunity to check it out.
Dude, hit it.
I think I've seen some episodes.
Yeah, it's good. It's quite funny. Back to the superpowers. Which superpower would you want to have?
Flying. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, how could you get away
from
that?
I would love to be able to fly.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Flying is the big one to me. Everything else, everything else is cool. You know, it'd be cool to be super strong like the Hulk, or, you know, invisible, or, you know, any other superpowers are just that, superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
But flying to me was always the coolest.
Yeah. Let me throw you an oddball one.
Go.
Have you ever had a near-death experience?
Oh, yeah. I've several. I've had several of them.
Really? What happened?
So when I was a kid, I was at the beach with my mom and dad, and I kind of wandered off. I lived on Long Island, so the beach was, you know, the Atlantic Ocean. And I was a little guy. I got rolled by a wave and sucked all the way out.
Riptide.
And I was small, and nobody really could see me. And I, thank God, I just relaxed, and I did what the lifeguards always tell you to do, and that's to swim parallel with the beach. And I just floated on my back, and the waves actually carried me into shore. But that was, I was underwater for so long, like I started to feel relaxed.
Wow.
You know, like, I wasn't panicking anymore. And the next thing I knew, the sun was in my eyes. I was I was just like, how did I get all the way out here? Because it happened so quickly, you know. It got rolled by a wave. I got sucked probably, you know, 150 yards off the beach. Like, almost instantly, it just pulled me right out.
Holy
and when
God.
I came to and I saw how far I was from the beach, that's when I had a moment of panic, and then I said, oh, no, I know how to do this. I know how to do this. The lifeguards told us.
And holy crap, good thing. Parallel with the beach.
And then,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was involved in a motorcycle wreck. I had a head-on collision with a drunk kid on graduation night.
Holy,
made a left turn in front of me. And I mean, literally, I never even hit my brakes. And I went over his car. Well, face first off the windshield, and then over his car.
Wow.
That's probably. I mean,
like how fucked up did you get from that?
I got pretty fucked up. I broke both. Well, my one wrist was broken in the cast. My other wrist I had like a severe strain. I must have had a death grip on the handlebars.
Yeah, I imagine so. Yeah,
but I busted my nose. I had a severe concussion. I got stitches in my chin. I got 26 stitches in my thigh.
Wow.
I was a mess. Hurt my neck pretty bad, and that's really what that made that a near death experience more than anything is.
Sure.
I probably could have broken my neck really easy if I had even hit at a slightly different angle. So.
Right. Right. Well, that's a knock wood. I'm in a knock wood on that one, man.
Yep.
I'm wondering if you've even seen this movie or not. Jared wants to know, what did you think of the Motley Crue dirt movie?
I've not seen it.
No?
I've not seen it. I've heard nothing but good stuff about it, even from people who aren't necessarily Motley Crue fans.
Right.
People have said good things about it, but that I have to check out. I got to see that.
Yeah.
I've actually been really caught up in tour prep. Like, it takes me weeks to get ready to leave, and especially on this trip, I'm gone for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
I do this West Coast run. I go home for one day, and then I fly over the next day with Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. I'm playing bass for them.
Oh, nice.
In Europe.
Love that band.
And then their tour ends, I think it's 4 or 5 days later, my tour starts. So my band flies into Europe. We rehearse for a couple days, then we start our European tour. We get done with that somewhere around April 1, April 2. We fly into New York, and then we start working our way back west, touring our way back west.
Wow. So no rest for the wicked.
It's, yeah, and the prep is just nuts because, you know, for this tour, like, everything is mine. The van and the gear, and so I have to, like, get everything together, make sure everything's in working order, drive the van down to L.A., rehearse with my guys, pick them up. We head north, and it's a little, I think it's a 10-show run on this one.
Of course, you got to do, you know, press like this as you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
CJ, thank you, man, for doing this again today. I've got two more questions, and then I'll let you go. What are your thoughts on legalized marijuana? Of course, it just came to Canada in October last year, 2018. It's countrywide
now. There's a lot of things that need to get worked out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always felt like it was cooler when it wasn't legal.
You know what I mean? So true.
When you were kind of not... Because realistically, it's like everybody was jumping up and down to make it mainstream.
Right.
But the cool thing back when we were kids was it wasn't mainstream. You know, it was like outlaw stuff, you know?
Sure. You had to know a guy to get the, you know, you had to be hooked up to kind of get it.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the thing about it is with all the medical applications and you know, just people's, it was always kind of stupid for pot to be illegal.
Oh, totally. Of course, the textiles and everything else. Like, it's dumb.
Right.
It's just dumb.
Oh, yeah. The products are unbelievable, the stuff they could do with it. But it was always ridiculous for it to be illegal. It really was. It's just stupid. It's a plant. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's a plant.
Right. And, of course, but, you know, living in Vancouver, CJ, I mean, like, it was pretty much legal anyway for us here on the on the West Coast.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys were like the North American Amsterdam.
To Amsterdam, exactly, yes.
The amount of people who go to jail for it is
Oh, I know. Dude, stupid. Especially it's in the stupid. States, it's insane. Like, the incarceration rate and per capita is messed up. It's insane.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, that's one of the main reasons why I really back it. It's really stupid, but... what they've done with, as far as like, it's really a small segment of the population that they really go after when they pass laws like that. That's how I'll put it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it's going to be, I'm glad that it's being legalized.
It's coming around.
It totally makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, dude. Last question. Do you believe that aliens have visited Earth?
Yes. Totally.
Nice.
100%. Nice. Unequivocally, yes.
Yeah, same for me.
I served in the Marine Corps before I was in the Ramones.
Oh, okay.
So when you have when you have military pilots, you know, reporting stuff, or even astronauts and people like that, like people who are trained observers, and they come back and they say, hey, listen, we saw this. It doesn't match the flight characteristics of anything known to man. Mm-hmm. You have to, like, sit up and take notice.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Tons of
but
videos.
I think absolutely. And that's just, like, the logical thing to me. However, when you look at how many people report that they're abducted and all of that stuff, too, that's even... But that's, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, that's crazy. You know, it's easier to dismiss. But when you have, like, military... you know, astronaut, space program people, you have to, like, be like, all right, that's legit, you know?
CJ, I've had enough people on the podcast talking about aliens and human assimilation and everything else, that there's enough people that literally believe that not only have they been to Earth, but there's people, aliens right now, that are disguised as people that live among us.
Right,
that live among us. Think about that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, That's a very, and I think amongst people who actually really do believe, I think that's a pretty widely accepted theory that they're actually living here.
Yeah, and why not?
The idea of any time you want to conquer a people, you have to go in with weapons and kill enough of them to make the rest of them afraid. Maybe that doesn't exist in other places. Maybe they do it a little bit more nefariously and come in and quietly take over so that nobody really knows.
I love the hole that we're going down here, bud. I love it, man.
I could talk about this stuff. You know, totally. Who else was really Same. Into this is Ian from the Aquabats.
Okay.
My buddy Ian.
Yeah.
Him and I, like, send each other stories and books that we're reading and stuff. We really go down the rabbit hole on all this stuff.
I love it. Well, dude, thank you so much for taking the time here to join us, the Toddcast in Vancouver, Canada. Your Twitter and Instagram is @TheCJRamon, and man, you're easy to find on Facebook as well.
Yeah. And if you make a comment, send a question, whatever, it's only me that does it. I don't have a staff.
Oh, nice.
That's all me.
Oh, that's great.
There's
good to
nobody
know.
Else posting stuff for me or anything like that. It's all me.
Okay, good. Good. Can't wait for your Vancouver show, the Wise Hall in Vancouver, East Vancouver, June 1st. I guess we'll see you there, and then we'll see you online as well. Thanks, man.
Thank you.